continue our reflections on Pope St. John Paul II's theology of the body and Christ's second word about adultery in the heart. There is an old Indian proverb which asks, "How do you eat an elephant?" The answer is, "One bite at a time." I think that means go slowly and steadily and you will eventually eat it all. Well, reading Pope St. John Paul II's chapter 2 of the Theology of the Body can feel like eating an elephant. It is not only 153 pages long, it is incredibly dense. And at points, blindingly insightful. It is hard to eat it all in one sitting. The Pope divides chapter 2 into 7 sections, as well as an appendix, which we can call the elephant's tail. I propose we consider these 7 sections into 4 groupings, which will correspond to 4 homilies, including today. We will tackle the first group, sections 1 and 2, by examining how the Pope presents Jesus' teaching about adultery in the heart, and how the heart has been broken because of concupiscence. Next time, we will study the substantial section 3, where the Holy Father notes the shift in the center of gravity of morality from mere actions to the deeper movements of the heart. This section is ideal for all those who complain, "I can't think of anything wrong I do." Well, we can sin with movements of the heart as well as movements of the body. That will be followed by a third homily, reviewing sections 4 and 5, dealing with trusting the heart and how eros, the erotic, and ethos, the ethical, interplay within the heart. And finally, we will look at section 6 and 7, where the Pope analyzes St. Paul's contribution to growing in purity of heart with the power of the Holy Spirit. Or put simply, life according to the Spirit. Can you see how John Paul's main concern in chapter 2 is with the heart? Its brokenness, its trustworthiness, its healing, and ultimately its elevation to new heights of holiness. In other words, the Pope's chapter 2, like my second bucket of marriage preparation, focuses on the heart work, which is really hard work. But John Paul will insist, in the face of all doubters and naysayers, one should add that this task can be carried out and that it is truly worthy of man. Don't lose hope in the goodness of the human heart and in the power of the Holy Spirit to make it better, or as I say, bionic. We take a first bite of the elephant of chapter 2 by glancing at sections 1 and 2. Like the Pope did back in chapter 1, and as he will do again in chapter 3, here also he bases all his reflections on a word of Christ. The real teacher of the theology of the body, let us not forget, is not the Pope saint, but Jesus himself. John Paul begins chapter 2 by stating this: "As the subject of our future reflections during the Wednesday meetings, I want to develop the following word of Christ, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." John Paul does not want us to miss that Jesus is principally preoccupied with the heart work, the hard work of preparing humanity to marry him, He does not want to marry a bride with a broken heart, but with a bionic heart. Like an expert cardiologist, the Pope first runs tests on humanity's heart in order to properly diagnose its illness, its brokenness. John Paul finds a sort of spiritual echocardiogram in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Pope notes, "We are referring here to the concise statement of 1 John. All that is in the world, the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world passes away with its concupiscence, but the one who does the will of God remains in eternity." Think of concupiscence like a cancer that consumes the heart. Once he has diagnosed the cardiac malady as concupiscence, the spiritual doctor investigates its roots in Genesis chapter 3, the story of original sin, where the cancer originated. Recall how in examining Christ's first word about Genesis 1 and 2, the Pope recognized three original experiences of original solitude, original unity, and original nakedness. So now John Paul explains how original sin will undo those authentic human experiences and make them feel foreign to us. Back in the 17th century, when the British poet John Donne was having marriage trouble with his wife Anne, he wrote this memorable epigram, "John Donne, Anne Donne, undone." The Pope acknowledges this undoing of original sin when he says, "The words of Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, 'I was afraid because I am naked and I hid myself,' confirmed the collapse of the original acceptance of the body as a sign of the person in the visible world. That is, with original sin, man went from feeling how singular and superior he was in the world," that's the meaning of original solitude, "to how simple and subservient he was to the world. Instead of amity and closeness, there arose animosity and distance between man and the world in the wake of original sin. Henceforth, man, you and I, would suffer from the symptom of the cancer of concupiscence." The Pope then turns to explore how concupiscence undoes original unity and causes a second discovery of sex, as he says. Whereas Adam and Eve, through their naked bodies, easily communicated love, care, and mutual support, they now feel fear, opposition, and suspicion toward each other. And so they cover their nakedness. John Paul writes perceptively, "This need, this necessity to cover themselves shows the fundamental lack of trust, which already in itself points to the collapse of the original relationship of communion. Put simply, communion has been replaced with conflict." By the way, this difference in male and female motives and mindsets is aptly captured by the modern adage, "Men use love to get sex, and women use sex to get love." In any case, original unity has been undone and replaced by an obstinate opposition, or at least a lurking suspicion of each other. Don't believe me? Just ask any couple who has been married for more than 5 days. Thirdly, John Paul turns to the earlier notion of original nakedness and shows how concupiscence deforms it, almost obliterating it entirely. Nakedness in this context should not be understood simply as the naked body, someone in their birthday suit, as we euphemistically say. Rather, nakedness is a form of transparency that allows man to see through the body, the human body, and perceive the soul. You know, when parents try to teach their children the awkward dynamics of human sexual relations, what analogy do they typically reach for? Maybe you did. They usually call it the birds and the bees, right? Why? Well, because parents erroneously equate what a husband and wife do in the act of sexual intercourse with what animals do when they copulate. The reason parents capitulate to that comparison is because the body no longer transparently reveals the soul. Rather, it has become opaque and hides the soul. The body no longer reveals, it conceals. The loss of this nakedness, this transparency of the body, causes people to believe that humans and animals are essentially the same. All dogs go to heaven, right? Well, mine will. I don't know about yours. Perhaps more tragically, this loss of original nakedness makes man forget he is created in the image and likeness of God and believe he is more like an animal than like an angel. The Pope describes this in his characteristically precise but circuitous way. The human heart experiences the degree of this limitation or deformation, above all in the sphere of the reciprocal relations between man and woman. Precisely in the experience of the heart, femininity and masculinity in their mutual relations seem no longer the expression of the spirit that tends towards personal communion and are left only as an object of attraction. In some sense, as it happens in the world of living beings, the birds and the bees, which, like man, have received the blessing of fruitfulness. Can you see why the heart work of marriage preparation is truly hard work? Indeed, such heart work would not only be hard, but impossible without the grace and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Human hearts suffer from the cancer of concupiscence by deforming and debilitating original solitude, original unity, and original nakedness. Changing metaphors, the Pope puts it in stark terms. The heart has become a battlefield between love and concupiscence. And by the way, that was just the first bite of the elephant, sections 1 and 2. Praised be Jesus Christ.